Welcome to Transform Your Business Radio. Over the next 15 minutes or so, Joel Helms speaks with small business owners just like you with the purpose of finding out what makes them successful and to share some of their great tips and ideas for transforming your business.
And good to have your company on Transform Your Business Radio. I had a lot of people coming up to me and asking me questions about our first podcast that we did with Anthony M. Turner, and we've got him back on the show to answer some more questions. How are you, Anthony?
I'm well, Joel. Yourself?
Yeah, really well, really well. Let's go back and have a quick little review about what we spoke about in our first podcast a couple of weeks ago. And I guess looking, I suppose, and what we'll focus on a lot today is looking at exactly where businesses are at this point in time. It can be a difficult assignment getting a true assessment of yourself at any one time, can't it?
Absolutely. Look, as I said in the last podcast, businesses tend to fail or not reach their potential to two major reasons. And the first one of those is they've got no real clarity about where they're going or why they're in business. And the second reason is they don't really know what's going on in the business. So they don't know the numbers that make their business tick, and therefore they don't have a very clear perspective about how many customers need to come through the door or whatever it may be. As a result of that, we developed up the five pillars. And the first one of this is to know where you are. The second is to know where you're going. The third one is to decide your income, which is all about the finances, obviously. The fourth one is to tell the world, which is the marketing side of it. And the fifth one is to manage for success. And in my experience of dealing with small businesses, I find that the majority of them tend to manage to avoid failure rather than managing for success. So what we're looking to do is over the next few sessions with you is to talk about the individual pillars so as we can give a bit more detail about what those topics mean and, you know, to encourage business owners to really get their heads both in and around the working on the business side instead of just working in the business, being the hamster on the wheel.
You know, it's absolutely fascinating, Anthony, and as somebody who does run a small business, it's all coming home and makes me think about what I've been doing. So I'm learning along the way, which is fantastic as well. So, yeah. Pillar number one is know where you are. And often, I think I may have mentioned this last week, you can be too close to the fire, can't you? If you're running a business, you're in there day to day, you may be working long hours. How do you really get an assessment of where you are at any one point of time?
Look, I think the first thing that anybody has to do is stop. And I know that sounds really, really scary, but I think it was best highlighted with, and it's in the ebook that Hamster No More ebook that I wrote, is that Hugh Hefner was on a bullet train in Japan, traveling 200 kilometers an hour on a bullet train as they do. And he realized in one of those moments of epiphany that, hey, my whole life's like this. Everything's running past me at 200 kilometers an hour. So he got off at the next station. He stopped. He had a look around and he realized that life wasn't really meant to be 200 kilometers an hour in everything he does. Now, he fortunately, he understood the metaphor of what that was about. And I believe, you know, changed his life accordingly. And has slowed everything right down, spends more time with family instead of racing around the world all the time. The key thing, or the first point in getting an understanding of where you are, is to be willing to stop and really take a reality check on all of the things that are going on in your life and business. Because one of the key things that I would suggest this is about is it's not just about your business, it's actually about you, the business owner. You have actually created these habits. You have created the environment that you are in by your work ethic. And there is nothing wrong with having a strong work ethic as long as that ethic is actually taking you to where you would like to go and you're not caught up like the hamster on the wheel where you're running harder and harder and faster and faster and faster and you're really going nowhere.
A saying that's come into vogue in recent times is working smarter and not harder. I guess that sort of encapsulates it, doesn't it? As a broad brushstroke, that's the way. I mean, step back, see what you can be doing better and tune up both yourself and your business.
Exactly. And it really is that simple. Is it easy to do? Not always when you've got the pressures of day-to-day business, and I do understand and respect that. So when I'm working with a client, for example, the first thing we do is we actually get them to do a reality audit. So there is a series of questionnaires that we would put out which would ask them about where are they and where are they now? What are the things that they are enjoying? What are the things that they are not enjoying? What are the impacts that that their current way of operating is going to have on their family and on the people around them? We also look at their skills. Are they running harder and faster because they are lacking in certain skills. Let's start trying to identify what those skills are, because oftentimes the person who is the business owner, and I've been guilty of this in my own business, we don't have to do it all. You know, we think we have to do it all because we don't have all the money, or we don't have the time to give it out to somebody else, or we don't trust somebody else can do it for us. But some, you know, there are a lot of skills out there, and particularly in today's environment, where we can actually bring those skills in and on an as-needed basis. We don't have to go and hire somebody and take on the responsibility of a staff member, for example.
Mm.
Yeah. So we can bring in different types of skills in as we need them. So, you know, one of the classics is probably, the majority of business owners that I see hate doing the accounts. Okay.
Yep, yep.
So my first thing is, well, hire a bookkeeper. And they say, well, I can't afford one. And I say, well, okay, let's do a simple sum on this. How much do you charge an hour? And let's say the average business owner earns, say, $50 an hour as a massage therapist or as a consultant doing something, whatever. Yeah. So let's say it's $50 an hour. All right. So how long does it take you to do the accounts? Well, probably about 3 hours. So that's $150.
Mm.
Okay. Now you can actually get a bookkeeper for an hour who is going to do all of that 3 hours work in 1 hour. So you've actually paid an additional $100 for the privilege of doing it yourself. How does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes absolute sense. It really does. When you put it in those in that context, absolutely, that's what people should be looking at. Because you know, a lot of people get into businesses because they have a skill. That skill is not necessarily doing the day to day, doing the books, doing the taxes. Sometimes you need to tap into the brain of an expert, don't you?
Absolutely. And look, you know, business owners typically. Michael Gerber wrote the book The E-Myth Revisited, and in that book he describes there are typically three types of business owners. The first one of those he calls the technician, and these are the guys who love to be in their shed. They're doing things. These are the people who are the computer geeks. These are the people who are the tradespeople. These are the people who've got a hobby that's something that they love to do with their hands. It may be the TV repairman. Anybody who's using their hands working with it. These are the technicians. They love doing the work. There is a second category, which is the manager. Now, the manager is the person who loves to organize all the systems. They love to organize the workflow to make sure everything's running smoothly. And then you've got the third type, which is the entrepreneurial type. Now, these are typically the salespeople. These are the visionaries of a business. These are the drivers, the creators of business. Now, if you look at in the positive sense, each one of those has got a very important role to play in the course of a business. But there's two issues here. If you're a business owner of one, and we all have a predominant type, okay, how do you actually bring in the skills of the other two types into your business? Because they have to be there for it to work. And the second thing is that if you are an entrepreneurial type, for example, it is possible, it's quite likely that if this project's not going along because you don't like to do the work and you don't like to organize the systems and everything, you're more likely to actually change your focus onto something new because that's exciting to you.
Yeah.
And the business never really succeeds because it's always changing in the direction. It's not being given the ability or the time to be able to flower into what it could become. But if you actually bring some people of the other types in, then you have the ability to enable a business to be successful for everybody.
Anthony, before we move on, I want to talk to you about some of the exercises that you get people to do to get a snapshot of where they are. But we mentioned last time we spoke a little bit about ego, and you work with a lot of people. Have you found that can we be stereotypical and say that often men running businesses are less likely to call on the mind of an expert, or a little bit like men not asking for directions on the road?
Look, yeah, I stereotypical is always a dangerous place to go, but I think there is an element of truth in that you know, men probably don't like to get the directions. We know what we're doing and we'll blunder our way through. Women probably are more likely to seek help because they tend to use external networks more easily, just in socializing and in life generally. So I think, yes, there is truth in that. There are a lot of men out there who are very good at delegating and getting in support. I think, and you mentioned the word ego. Ego is very good. It's a good attribute if it is working for you rather than it driving you. And I think where it falls down is when our ego gets in the way and say, oh no, we can do this. We know what we're doing. We're not willing to offer help. What we're really saying is that we're not willing to be vulnerable and recognize that we can't do it all. Now, if you look at all of the successful business owners, you know, look at some of the top people, the Bransons of the world, or you know, whoever. These people know that they don't know it all. They know that it makes sense to actually get experts to come in and around them. You know, I'm yet to see a top athlete or a top business person who does not have a coach or mentor, somebody who's outside of the box who can actually look at things objectively and say to them, hey, have you thought about this? Why are you doing it like that? You know, to challenge the thought processes to make sure that everything is moving in the direction they would like to go.
Well, pillar one of Hamster No More is know where you are. And you've put together this one particular exercise really stands out to me, and you hit on it just earlier, the wheel of life. Can you explain to me what that is?
Yeah, look, sure, Joel. What the wheel of life is imagine drawing a circle on a piece of paper and then dividing that circle up into eight segments. Now, each one of those segments will represent an aspect of your life. So it'll be work, it'll be finances, it'll be leisure, it'll be health, it'll be spirituality, it'll be a community involvement, and about relationships. Those are the eight segments. Now, if you can imagine with that circle, with these spokes in there, if you start in the middle of the circle, and that is zero, and you move out to the outer perimeter of the circle, which is 10, we would rate each one of those segments for our score of where we are at right now. Okay, so in a lot of instances, I find that people in small businesses, their work environment one is probably going to be at around the 7 to 9 mark. But conversely, their leisure or their relationships are often going to be in the 2 to 3 to 4 mark. Now, if you can think of, you know, once you've actually created this wheel and you've done it for every segment, oftentimes we find that there's like some areas that stick right out, some that are right in. And the idea, of course, is that a wheel is rounded, symmetrical, it's going to run smoothly. But in the instances where these are spoked like this as the result, that wheel is not even going to turn, let alone run. And that is where a lot of the problem is. What we do with the wheel is that I use this as a coaching tool at the beginning of each of our coaching sessions to actually get a snapshot of where things are at right now, both for the individual and for the business. And quite often they're different. But what we then do is we look at the area which has the smallest spoke, if you like, and that is the area which is probably being undernourished or underworked on. And we decide on a single activity that can be done to expand that level, that particular segment. So, for example, let's say the leisure one was the lowest one. What the person might do is they might choose an activity where they're going to spend a bit more time with the family. So that would actually have the effect of both increasing their leisure spoke, but it would also increase the relationship spoke as well. So by creating and doing an activity and committing to that activity, what we're looking to do is to bring more balance into that person's life. And of course, if the person is more balanced, then the business is going to be more balanced as well.
Yeah, well, it sounds fascinating, Anthony, and really, I guess it's common sense. I'm looking forward to the next time we talk in a couple of weeks. We're going to move on to pillar two. Now, there's absolutely no point knowing where you are if you don't know where you're going.
Yeah, look, Confucius, that wise old man, once said, man without target hit nothing. And pillar two really is about defining what it is that you would like to achieve in your business, from your business, because your business, in my opinion, is there to support your lifestyle, not the other way around.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a fascinating chat. Looking forward to that. We can find out more details at transformyourbusiness.com.au. And Anthony M. Turner, we shall talk again soon.
Thanks, Joel.
Psst. Hey, interested in free ideas, tips, and a whole range of special offers, including free advertising to help your small business succeed? Thought so? Get on to transformyourbusiness.com.au and check out Club TYB. Club TYB provides free advertising for your business, plus a range of special offers including discounts and bonuses on coaching, skills training, financial and business planning, legal and accounting support, plus signs, bookkeeping, and many products and services to help your business succeed. Follow the links to Club TYB on transformyourbusiness.com.au and take advantage of all the savings to transform your business. Remember, follow the links to Club TYB at transformyourbusiness.com.au and start saving now. For our full library of podcasts, plus links to Club TYB, the home of special offers for small business owners from small business owners, visit transformyourbusiness.com.au.
Transform Your Business Radio is a Helms Media Solutions production. Visit helms.com.au.